This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Exaggerators down to the 16th pole. The Gutty Nyquist is coming at him in second. And then Stradivari followed by Cherry Wine. But Exaggerator has turned the tables. He has won the Bring the Stakes.
It's Gone Runner. Gone Runner for Ron Giroux. Clear to the finish in the Louisiana Derby. Gone Runner wins Going Away.
Also sponsored by Adina Springs, Airdrie Stud, Castleton Lions, Claiborne Farm, Coolmore, Daily Racing Form, Darley, DerbyBox.com, FarmPaint.com, Flair Equine Nasal Strips, Gainesway, Gulfstream Park, Jimmy John's, Kentucky Bank, Kentucky Downs, the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, Kirkwood Stables, Lane's End, the Lexus Store of Lexington, Maryland Thoroughbred, Mill Ridge, the New York Thoroughbred Breeding and Development Fund, Nicholson Insurance, Owner View, Pin Oak Stud, Ramsey Farm, Santa Anita, Spendthrift Farm, Sunrise Stallions, Tony's of Lexington, the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program, Washington Hay, and Woodbine Entertainment.
And Moore Spirit is progressing very nicely under Gary Stevens as he takes care of business with plenty left in the tank.
Destin and Creator, these two come down to the line together to most of all. It was Creator and Destin right on the wire.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Baron and Pontiff, that's Penna and Feld. We are with you trackside on another gorgeous morning in Saratoga Springs, New York, as we set for two graded stakes races, at least two grade one races on this program later today, the Whitney and the Test, and it's going to be an amazing day of racing. The fans have already begun to file into Saratoga. They're enjoying the morning workouts. A bit of rain came through last night and early this morning, but it's not going to dampen the spirits of the huge crowd that's expected to be here later today. And let me tell you something. The main track looks incredible right now. It is fast. The turf course expected to be firm for the races later today, and should be a great day of racing. JT, good morning.
Good morning. It's fantastic here. It's a little overcast, but nice and cool. Everybody's enjoying themselves looking at the horses train, and it's been a brisk training morning this morning. A lot of horses out.
As one fan pointed out when he came by earlier this morning before we came on air, he said, Saratoga is the greatest place on earth without an ocean. I thought that was a great way to put it.
Good call. I think even Sir David Seal would agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, of course, now this is, what, the third consecutive weekend we've broadcast from Saratoga. We'll be here all the way through the end of the meet, our last broadcast coming on that final Saturday, September 3rd, as part of our Saturdays at Saratoga series, which is presented by visitbarbados.org. And, Jude, so much great racing yet to come. We've seen a lot of great racing already, but looking ahead to this afternoon's Whitney and Test, boy, two really rock-solid grade one events.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting to see both of those races. The Test is really highly competitive, and the fillies always seem to put on such a good show. For the last couple of years, maybe three, the filly division has actually been a lot stronger than the colt division, so looking forward to that.
Well, 8 3-year-old fillies will go 7 furlongs on the main track later today in that grade one Test. The 91st running of that race is set for 5:02 Eastern. It's going to be run as race number 8. The Whitney, the 89th running, a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Classic division, goes at 6:18 Eastern. It's going to be race number 10, mile and an eighth on the main track. Short field of 6. We said the same thing when we came on the air for the Jim Dandy last week. Only 6 horses in that race. Saw a huge upset in Lauban, the maiden, breaking his maiden in a grade 2 race, paying $56 for the victory. Don't know if we'll have that kind of upset today in the Whitney, but hey, this is the graveyard of favorites, JT.
I wouldn't be shocked.
Well,
I would not be shocked.
If that happens, it means that 3-5 morning line favorite Frosted would go down to defeat. And, boy, he certainly looked the part last time out in winning that Met Mile by, what, 14 lengths?
Yeah, he won the Met Mile by 14, but there wasn't a tremendous field behind him. He figured to win that race, and he did. A few question marks here at Saratoga. He's never won at Saratoga. A lot of people are questioning his two-turn ability. I don't know about that. I think he can probably handle the two turns okay, but I don't think he's any cinch, and he's going to be a very, very short price.
Yeah, 0-for-3 at Saratoga. Now, in his defense, he does have a pair of runner-up finishes and a third-place finish from those three outings. So it's not like Frosted has run poorly. You remember he was second in the Jim Dandy last year, came back and finished third behind Keen Ice and American Pharoah in the Traverse.
Yeah, and, you know, Upstart, who's also in the Whitney, he actually beat Frosted and beat him by 5 in the Holy Bull. So that's an interesting play. And he's a horse that actually...
Long time ago, though.
It was a long time. Long time between drinks, as they say. Not for us here on the HRN network, but...
We make it a policy of ours not to make it a long time between drinks.
That's right.
And we're not talking about drinks of water, are we?
No. Water. What the heck is water?
Wait. Now, in my defense, I have done pretty well. I've had a lot of water to drink.
Yes.
I had to hydrate from all the other stuff that we were drinking.
There you go. In by 9, out by 5.
Yeah. We love Saratoga.
Saratoga is a great place to hang out. That's
you know what's scary is that we were saying the same thing in Florida. Mm-hmm. When we were down there for 9 weeks earlier this year, we came on the air saying the same thing in Barbados.
Well,
I think we have a problem.
Yeah.
has got to stop.
We used to have a problem, but we've cut way back because we recognized that this has got to stop. And you know, it's funny this
admitting
morning.
Admitting it is the first step.
That's exactly right. And you know, the first thing I thought of when I was making the coffee this morning was, you know, I only had one cocktail last night. That was it.
We were all wiped. I mean,
it was
a very busy
yesterday.
Week here. We're preparing for not only this program and, of course, our coverage coming this afternoon at 5:30 Eastern time here on the network with the Whitney. Of course, you can hear that coverage on Sirius 83. But we're also getting set for a couple of big nights on Monday and Tuesday night just across the street at the Fasig Tipton Sales Grounds, where we're going to bring you our exclusive coverage of the 96th Fasig Tipton Saratoga Sale. That all kicks off Monday, Tuesday night, 6:30 Eastern. That's going to be aired on Sirius Channel 145. So mark that down, Sirius 145 for our sales coverage Monday and Tuesday night, 6:30 Eastern.
Yeah, it's always a fun show to do. It's very entertaining, very quick, and we got a great lineup. It's going to be fun having Acacia out there talking to the owners and trainers and consigners and everything. We're also going to be on television.
Yeah, that's a very scary thought. Thankfully, they're going to put the camera on Acacia much more than on us.
Yes.
I think that's a brilliant move by Fasig Tipton.
We're actually doing a cameo, but all the Acacia fans will get plenty of Acacia on film up close and personal in the walking ring at Fasig Tipton.
Yeah, so here's the way that's going to work. If you haven't heard about it yet, you can go to FasigTipton.com Monday and Tuesday night. You're going to be able to watch the entire sale on their website, just as you typically can. But this year, a little bit of a new twist to it. Our coverage that we're going to bring you throughout the evening, gavel to gavel, from 6:30 until the end of the sale, is going to be part of that video stream. So not only will you get to watch the horses go through the ring, you're going to hear interviews with the major players, the major buyers, the major consigners. You're going to hear different commentary from us throughout the evening. It's going to be a really, really fun show, and all that's going to be available, FasigTipton.com, with the live video streaming on their website.
Yes, we promise you don't have to look at us very much.
Yes, absolutely. People will be very happy to know that.
Yes.
Face for radio?
Oh, no question.
All right, hey, quick shout-out. We're going to tell people what's coming up because this is a very busy show. It's going to be a full show. But quick shout-out to our girl Sophie Doyle, who is making her way back to the saddle. She's coming back in the groupie doll later today at Ellis Park. I believe she had a mount yesterday, too. Didn't go back and double-check if she actually rode yesterday. But she is back in a stakes race today with the groupie doll. If you remember, she filled in as a special guest co-host with us a few weeks back here on this very same show. And we want to wish Sophie all the best and congratulate her on her return and getting back to the saddle. Make sure you take a look at Sophie Doyle in that groupie doll later today.
Yeah, very exciting for her to be coming back. I noticed her mom tweeted out about it this morning. Her mother's evidently very excited.
She should be.
Yeah.
She should be. It's not easy for jocks to get back after an injury, any athlete really. And when you do come back and you can get back, especially for a jockey, in a stakes race like this, right off the bat, it means that people have confidence in your riding ability, right? I mean, you know that as a former trainer. People have confidence that you can handle it, even coming off of the injury.
Yeah, and racing people, you know, they're very very generous, and they want to help you when you come back. I think most people will remember what good you did for them and put you back on horses or give you a horse to train if you've been ill or whatever. So it's a great community, the racing community, and proud to be a part of it.
All right, so here is what's coming up over the next 2 hours here on the Equine Forum this morning. When we come back from our first break, you're going to hear an interview with trainer Eric Guillot, who sent out the maiden long shot Lauban to upset the Jim Dandy last week at 27-1. Eric caught up with Anthony Stabile and Acacia Courtney on our Express Bet radio show earlier this week, and we're going to replay that interview because he was absolutely phenomenal, as Eric Guillot tends to be. Jimmy Jerkins, well, I had a chance to talk to him in his barn yesterday and talk to him about coming here trying to win the Whitney this afternoon with his Suburban Stakes winner, FNX. So you'll hear from Jimmy coming up at 8:35 Eastern. 9 o'clock Eastern, don't miss this. Mark Cassie joined me yesterday morning at his barn. We sat down for, 10 or 12 minutes, and we talked about, first of all, him getting into the Canadian Hall of Fame this past Wednesday. It's a great honor. Mark talks about that, and then he looks ahead to the Whitney today with Noble Bird. Max Hodge is going to be with us in person, live on set here at Saratoga at 9:22 Eastern. Max, of course, with Fasic Tipton. He'll give you the details on what you can expect at that Fasic Tipton Saratoga sale Monday and Tuesday night. And then at the end of the program, Eric Barland from Tito's Handmade Vodka and Retro, Pete Rotundo from the Breeders' Cup, will come by for the final 15 minutes and help us handicap some of the big races here at Saratoga later today.
Yeah, now when Max and Pete are here, there's no flash photography, and they will only sign one item. Just remember that.
Right.
So
coming back to our previous discussion, when Eric said he was coming by, he said, "I'll wear Tito's shorts." And I said, "Forget about the shorts, man. Just bring the Tito's." We do have a problem.
There was a serious problem. You know, as you were talking about the alcohol situation, I was thinking, I think we're having Bloody Marys on set this morning, aren't we?
Well, that's what he said. I don't know. We're going
to
see. That remains
seen.
To be seen.
I
don't know. Actually, I don't like Bloody Marys.
But
though,
they're,
so
well,
I'm out.
Okay, I'll have yours.
I'm out.
we will share.
Okay. There was a guy in a Tito's suit at the Breeders' Cup. In a Tito vodka suit.
That's Eric.
That was him?
That's Eric.
Oh.
Yeah.
I did not know.
It's really cool.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's really cool. Yeah, he has a couple of those.
I wonder if they come
out
in my size. Talk about a billboard. You got Stabile and I in Tito suits? It's like that's the best advertising you could have.
Yeah, you can't miss it.
We could go through the racetrack holding hands. People would just line up for the vodka.
Can't miss it. All right, our poll question here this morning, go to @HRRN on Twitter and weigh in. We want to know, with the Whitney coming up today featuring Frosted and FNX, maybe two of the top older horses in the country, who is the top male dirt horse right now? August 6th, 8:13 a.m. Eastern. Who is the best male dirt horse in the country? Is it Frosted? Is it FNX? Is it California Chrome or Dortmund? We're going to give you those four choices. You may feel as if there's somebody else that's better than all four of them. You can, of course, type your answer in and weigh in at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. Go do that right now, and we'll update you on the poll results as we move throughout the program this morning. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Adina Spring Stallion Point of Entry, a five-time Grade 1 winner viewed by many
to be the heir to Dinah Former's global legacy, with First Crop weanlings already realizing six-figure sums at both Keeneland and Tattersall's in Newmarket. As a racehorse, Point of Entry was a truly great American turf horse, becoming the first since Theatrical to win the New York Turf Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined 9 lengths.
Point of Entry scores to win the Man of War by 4 lengths. A Hall of Fame ride it was. Point of Entry wins the Sword Dancer, and they're coming down to the finish. And Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a 5-race winning streak.
Point of Entry returned the following year to win the Grade 1 Gulfstream Park Turf and Grade 1 Manhattan, and also displayed the ability and the pedigree to perform at the highest level on dirt. Point of Entry, standing at Adina Springs in Paris, Kentucky. Visit adinastallions.com.
Join us for the Kentucky Sire Stakes at the historic Red Mile in Lexington, Kentucky. The Kentucky Sire Stakes is a culmination of a month-long series of preliminary races for 2- and 3-year-olds, pacers, and trotters with total purses of over $1.6 million. Watch for the finest standardbred horses, drivers, and owners compete in one of the richest finals in North America. First post, 7 p.m. on August 7th, 14th, and 21st at the Red Mile. For more information, visit khrc.ky.gov or call 888-KY-BRED.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
I'm here with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what's going on in the insurance world?
Mike, with the yearling sales fast approaching, we offer Fall of the Hammer coverage to buyers for their auction purchases.
Why is Fall of the Hammer so important?
When the auctioneer drops the gavel and the buyer signs a sales slip, ownership transfers. There is an immediate exposure to the buyer for the purchase price. By calling our office prior to the sale, we can arrange for immediate protection, so there is no gap in coverage.
Are there any other exposures?
Absolutely. There is liability exposure in the event the yearling should cause bodily injury or property damage to others. An equine owner's liability policy will provide just the right coverage. It's stuff like this that keeps me awake at night.
Thanks, Joe, for speaking with us today. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
This is Carlos Martin, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They're into the stretch, and it's a maiden in front here in the Jim Dandy. Lauban trying to keep on going. Here's Destin. Governor Malibu makes his run at the fence. Lauban is still there. On the outside, Destin. Governor Malibu comes off the rail with a late bid, but it is a shocker. A maiden has won the Jim Dandy. Lauban went wire to wire. Governor Malibu and Destin. Mohaven was fourth in a final time of 1 minute 48.39 seconds. He's never won a race in his life, and he won the Jim Dandy.
Larry Colmus with the call. That was last weekend's Jim Dandy and Lauban pulling off that 27-1 upset, and it was a shocker here at the Graveyard of Champions. And Lauban on his way to the Traverse for trainer Eric Guillot. And Eric joined Anthony and Acacia earlier this week on Express Bet Radio. You're going to hear that interview coming up momentarily, right after we remind you that Shanghai Bobby and Declaration of War, both standing at Ashford in Versailles, Kentucky, are well represented at the upcoming Fasig Tipton Saratoga Selected Yearling Sale on Monday and Tuesday night. Shanghai Bobby, the unbeaten 2-year-old, first horse in history, as a matter of fact, to win the hopeful Champagne and Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He has 7 horses cataloged at the Fasig Tipton Saratoga Selected Yearling Sale. And then there's Declaration of War by Warfront out of the from the family of Union Rags. Warfront has been absolutely on fire with his 2-year-olds in Europe in recent weeks, and Declaration of War is by far his best son at stud. He has a dual Grade 1 winner in Europe before running a gallant third in the Breeders' Cup Classic in his first and only start on dirt, and he has 3 yearlings cataloged to this year's Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale. Make sure you look for those yearlings by Shanghai Bobby and Declaration of War Monday and Tuesday evenings. Mike Penna and Jude Feld, we're back with you here at Saratoga, and I mentioned that Eric Yeo took the time to join us on Express Bet Radio earlier this week, and here's what he had to say to Anthony and Acacia about that Jim Dandy upset.
Eric, I got to say, you know, if at first you don't succeed, try again. Lauban was that personified throughout the late, from the late winter on this year. You kept trying him those graded stakes. It finally paid off on Saturday.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, what's a maiden going to do for him? $30,000? I was making more money running third and second in the graded stakes. The majority of the maiden, I mean, would take a race out of him for nothing, you know what I mean? I knew he was that caliber. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It's not, I would like to say it's my first or my second greatest stakes win with a main, but it's actually my third. So it's not like it hasn't been done before. It makes sense to run him, in, you know, from a business end. If he won't break the maiden by 1,000 lengths, then he's not worth no more than he was the day before he broke his maiden. Now he's got value. You know, in this game, you never know when's that last hurrah. So I was trying to create value being by Uncle Mo, and, you know, owning him with my partner now. I was trying to make a stallion contention, so. There's three people interested in him already this week, so there you go. So obviously we did the right call.
Yeah,
of course, the whole industry, you know, they got this cliche about, oh, put him in the main, bring him in the main, let him climb the ladder, build up the courage and the confidence. Let me tell you, if a horse got to break his main to have confidence, he's a $5,000 claim. That's what he is. So that's just a cliche that's used among this industry, people that don't know what they're doing.
Well, you certainly stuck to your guns. Third in the Sham. Second in the Gotham, fourth in the Bluegrass, all graded stakes. You were on the outside looking in of the Kentucky Derby, got him into the Preakness, and then the Dwyer last time out. You know, the last two races, the Preakness and the Dwyer prior to the Jim Dandy, he looked like he had tailed off a little bit. What gave you the confidence to keep on going with him against this caliber?
No, actually, it was just the opposite. He needed a little freshening after the Preakness. If you go back and you watch it, he's the way he moves, and he's not the smoothest horse in the world. Kind of run like a camel. He hated the mud. First of all, he stumbled in gate, spotted him, went 6 wide first turn, 8 wide second turn, and he just hated the going. So you just throw that one out. Those are the kind of things. See, I know that the handicappers don't, and the Dwyer, he's just too fresh. Obviously, he's a fresh horse. He's acting up. He's a much better horse when you run out of his stall, not ship in, because you get time to school him 2, 3, 4 times, like I did here at Saratoga. And if you go back to the Bluegrass, Casey, the Bluegrass, if it was the Keeneland was any given day like normal speed by his track, he wins that race. He's beat 4.5, had all the running early. And the horses that beat me 1, 2, 3 when I ran fourth came from 14th, 13th, and 11th from the top of the stretch. The Ashland that day came from the clouds, the 30-1. The sprints came from the clouds. So, really, I ran it because he was running out of his stall because I was stable at Keeneland. So when the horse runs out of his stall, he's a different animal. It's hard to fly in on a Wednesday night and get there and then school him to death Thursday, Friday. You know, he's not the best doer in the world to begin with. So, you know, to school him to get him relaxed is kind of a vicious circle. So that's the trick, was in being able to get him to relax. And obviously, it let me slow the clock down to 49 and put him to sleep, and we hit the snooze button at the quarter pole, and apparently they never heard the alarm the rest of the race. That's how I look at it. So.
And Jose Ortiz rode him for the first time in the Jim Dandy that day. Do you think he had something to do with his success, finally getting to the winner's circle?
Well, I don't know. That's true. I mean, Johnny B, the older rider, you know, looking to his elder years there, and, you know, the horse tried to flip over in the gate twice, so I figured that he wouldn't want to ride him back, so I didn't go that route, you know. And then Jose, I put him on his first graded stakes horse in 2013, first graded stakes winner, so I had a relationship built with him with Marino. So the kid's riding really high right now. He's been having a good year, so yeah. So, I mean, he listens exactly what the instructions were. I told him to just walk the dog and, you know, turn the cat loose, turn it for home.
Talking with Eric Yeo, the trainer of Lauban, who upset the apple cart, if you will, in the Jim Dandy this past Saturday. Eric, you mentioned Yeo. Eric, you mentioned Moreno. Tough beat with him back in 2013 in the Travers. Obviously, you have Lauban now pointed towards that race. you got to be excited to be able to go back with a real bullet to fire again.
Yeah, it is. That race, particular race, took something off my life. I think that was a pretty biggest beat of my life for sure. I mean, in 3 inches or whatever, that surge. So it was pretty depressing after that for a while. But I mean, it's nice to be able to get back and maybe redeem myself a little.
What would you like to see from Lauban over the next couple of weeks leading up to that?
Well, just, you know, happy horse, just eating up good and training good. He'll drive 2 miles every day and probably work a half and 49, gallop out a quarter mile, and then he'll come back and work an easy three quarters in 13, probably the week before. That'll probably be his recipe. So, man, just as long as he's a happy horse that can get there in one piece, and I'll screw the crap out of him, let's say, on the week of the Traverse. He's got to relax. That's the trick. People don't understand that the intentions of, you know, horses, their breathing pattern, they need to relax in order to be able to finish.
Yeah, you've certainly done a good job with him. Got 3 weeks till then. What do we have to look forward to from the Guillot barn until then?
I don't have much running. I got a bunch of young horses we brought at the sales in May and June, so everything will be running probably October, November, December, so I don't have a whole lot. Just to keep another maiden. This one's going to run in a maiden. It's not going to run in a great estate. But, yeah, you're running a maiden. But I got some pretty nice two-year-olds, but they're not ready. They're supposed to come up to about first 5/8, half miles.
All right. Before we let you go, Eric, and we appreciate some time today, I got to ask you, who's getting the voodoo doll?
Oh, all of them. It's actually on their boxes on the way from a farm in Kentucky. Some boxes. I got to figure out who's going to be in the lineup first. I mean, you know. Charlie Brown will be in there. Jeff Lontar will be in there, I'm sure. Christopher Clement, there'll be a bunch of bobblehead bands, and there'll be a few.
Now, do they work on fellow Cajuns like the DeSalmo boys?
Yeah, of course. Oh, yeah, they work across the street. They'll work. It doesn't matter. As long as you're in the different attic, it's going to work. Yeah. I got to get one for Kent Clark's little sister there, Julie Clark. So I'm almost assisted. That's what I call her. And I get some kryptonite for Julie Clark. That's the plan. I'm going to be breaking it out in the next couple of weeks.
Eric Guillot. If that doesn't put a smile on your face, then
we might have needed subtitles for that interview. I tell you, if I ever go back to training, I am going to give a jock that instruction. Walk the dog to the quarter pole and then turn the cat loose. That's a reason to go back to training horses, just to give that instruction. That might be the instruction for every horse that I run.
He had the other line early in that interview where he said that Lauban hit the snooze button at the quarter pole and they never heard the alarm. He has a way with words, doesn't he?
He is a wordsmith. There is no doubt about it.
One of my goals with this program is one day we are going to have both Eric Guillot and Kent DeSormo on the program together.
We will need subtitles.
We will definitely need subtitles. Yeah. We need somebody to translate
and
that.
We'll need those little thought bubbles to explain to people what exactly they're saying.
So colorful. I think Eric Guillot is great for the game. You hear him talk about the voodoo dolls, and that is all true. He does that. He has actual voodoo dolls at his barn before all the big races, and they are typically, as you heard him mention, horses, or they are other trainers that have horses in the race coming up against him. And you heard him refer to Chad Brown as Charlie Brown, as he calls him. You heard him refer to Todd Pletcher as Teflon Todd, and then Baffert as Bobblehead Bob.
He's stealing Indian Charlie's ammo there.
Well, that's probably where he got it. Yeah. But colorful character. You like him or not like him, I think he's good for the game. I think those kind of characters are good for the sport. And Eric Guillot, when you get to know him, is actually a really, really good guy. And here he is with a horse like Lauban, who pulled off that huge win in the Jim Dandy. Jude, is it conceivable that we could see him go back-to-back and upset the Travers? Because he's not going to be the favorite in the Travers.
Yeah, well, you know, when you looked at the Jim Dandy, it was one of those races, and there was that possibility that Lauban could get out there on the lead, and a lot of people thought, you know, well, he'll fold, you know, but he didn't fold, and that happens sometimes. And, you know, sometimes when a horse wins, they figure it out. They go, this is kind of fun, and he could do it. It's a mile and a quarter. The pace is going to probably be relatively slow again. So it wouldn't be the craziest thing that ever happened.
No. No, I mean, I guess, you know, Graveyard of Champions, it's certainly conceivable that
well, he's not going to be. He's not going to be a big price coming back. I mean, he'll be a decent price.
He's not going to be one of the favorites.
Not going to be one of the favorites, but he's not going to be, you know, the longest shot on the board. That's for sure.
Yeah. Quickly, we have to get to another commercial break here. But your thoughts? You were at the Haskell last week in New Jersey. That was the other big race for the 3-year-olds. Another prep for the upcoming Travers on August 27th. Your thoughts on that? That Haskell.
Well, you know, it was unfortunate that it rained that day. I mean, it wasn't unfortunate for Exaggerator, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, I thought it was a good race. I thought Baffert's horse, American Freedom, was super impressive. You know, he really ran well. He's another horse that doesn't mind the mud. But, you know, I don't put a lot of stock into that race this year because of the fact that it was on an off track, and I think it really had a bearing on the result.
This is typically the time when we would bring you our Lexus Legends of the Turf story, but it is a very busy morning with the interview with Jimmy Jerkins coming up in just a few minutes, Mark Cassie's interview coming up at 9 o'clock Eastern, Max Hodge from Fasig Tipton coming by at 9:20 Eastern, and Pete Rotundo from the Breeders' Cup, Eric Barland from Tito's Handmade Vodka coming by at the end of the program. So we want to make sure we have time for all of that content for you this morning. So in deference to our guest, we will bypass the Lexus Legends of the Turf story, but we will bring you a commercial for the Lexus store of Lexington. And I tell you every single week on this program that if you're in the horse business and you're in Central Kentucky and you're looking for a vehicle, you need to go to the Lexus store of Lexington. I've been telling you this for more than a decade now on this show. They are horse people. They are involved in the horse industry, and they want to be the dealership of the equine industry in Central Kentucky, and they will treat you like a king, like a queen. The minute you walk through their door, they're going to treat you better than any other place you've ever been to. I call it the Lexus experience. You can experience it for yourself. Go see the Godfather, Tony Appiano, all the great folks. They're there at the Lexus store of Lexington.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the Godfather, Tony Appiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
What is it about Tony's steaks and seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, "This is steak nirvana." Or how about the great seafood, the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere? All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington on Main Street, right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
Millridge is offering 3 quality yearlings by leading sires at the Fasig Tipton Saratoga Sale, 2 by Candy Ride and 1 by Uncle Mo, with the dam side providing every opportunity to raise a racehorse. Since 2005, Millridge has offered 51 yearlings, with 64% winners, 4.5% of those grade 1s or grade 2s. Millridge has raised or sold 33 grade 1 winners since 2000, including 7 Breeders' Cup winners and 5 Horse of the Years. Visit Millridge.com to learn more. Millridge, raising and selling racehorses. Horses.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Power.
Frosted's 10 in front.
frost that is absolutely rubbed in the Met Mile.
Passion.
California Grown laboring late. Here's the wire, and it's a photo finish that goes to Tonalist.
Performance.
It was creator and destined right on the wire, and Iran Ortiz raised his whip in victory.
Gainesway Stallion Tappet, a two-time champion sire and once again number one in 2016. More than $3 million clear on the general sire list with 21 graded stakes horses and 8 graded stakes winners this year, including Belmont Stakes Hero and Gainesway Sales graduate Creator and Frosted, a 14.5 length winner of the Grade 1 Met Mile. 13 yearlings by Tappet have been cataloged to the Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale this August. Colts, fillies, graded stakes winners at any distance. Tappet, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
This is Eddie Delahousie. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
FNX comes off the rail for his run. Tonalist is full out in third, and they're into the stretch, and it's Coach Inge into the final furlong. He's got an eighth of a mile to go. FNX and Tonalist are running after him. Coach Inge fully extended. FNX and Tonalist are coming up on the outside. Here's Tonalist and FNX, and they'll battle it out to the wire of the Suburban. It's a head-bobbing finish. That is very close. It looked like FNX edged out Tonalist in the Suburban, but it is very close. And then it was Coach Inge, and neck was fourth.
FNX, the first of his two wins in the Suburban, and that was last year. Of course, he came back and won the race again July 9th of this year, and he's back in action later today in the Grade 1 Whitney, which you're going to hear right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Exclusive radio coverage begins 5:30 Eastern. You'll be able to tune in on Sirius XM Channel 83, on affiliates around the country, and streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. Do not miss it. Should be a great race in the Whitney, even though just a six-horse field in this year's renewal. Mike Penna and Jude Feld, we are trackside here at Saratoga. Training continuing. Many of the fans are already in attendance. They have gotten their picnic table set up out back, and at the top of the stretch, they have enjoyed a little bit of breakfast here this morning, which is still ongoing, and the workouts will continue till about 10 o'clock Eastern. And JT, it figures to be a gorgeous day here with temperatures up into the upper 80s, plenty of sunshine, fast main track, and it should be a firm turf course.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything looks good. They're out there harrowing the track right now. It's break time here at the spa, but people are enjoying themselves out on the apron. Lots of kids, as usual. Strollers. Love to see the strollers. Start them young, I say. And it's a great day here at Saratoga.
Yeah, it is a great day. And somebody else hoping it will be a great day is trainer Jimmy Jerkins, who sends out FNX. And when you think about the history of the Whitney, well, it was first run in 1928. It is named in honor of the Whitney family, which for generations has been an iconic part of the thoroughbred industry. Mary Lou Whitney, who is a, of course, Saratoga socialite, you're familiar with her and the Whitney name, she turned 90 years young this year, and no doubt she'll be in attendance for the Whitney later today, as she is just about every single year. And you think of names like Whitney, and you think of names like Jerkins, tied to the Whitney as well, as, of course, the late Alan Jerkins won his only Whitney when he sent out Onion to upset Secretariat in this very same race in 1973. And yesterday I had a chance to talk with his son, Jimmy Jerkins, who sends out FNX, and here's what he had to say about his dad, about that legacy, and about this year's Whitney.
Jimmy, you know, you think about the Whitney and the history that's involved. Of course, it comes back to your dad and Onion beating Secretariat all the way back in 1973. And you remember that day quite vividly, don't you?
Yeah, you know, it was hard to forget. You know, it was a long, long time ago. But something like that happens, it sticks in there.
What do you remember about that day? Where did you watch the race?
It's like about at the three-quarter pole on the back stretch, you know, where we used to watch a lot of, we still do, you know. A lot of people watch the races from back there. And you know, he just turned down the backside with a lead, and Secretary was on the inside, I remember. And everybody said that the rail was no good, was kind of deep, and Jacinto kept Secretariat kind of wedged in there all the way, and that had a lot to do with his win. But the big thing was my father ended up running him. The whole reason he ended up running him to start with is because he watched Secretariat blow out for the race, and he thought he was very sluggish for him. So he thought he was getting him at a time where he wasn't, you know, he'd been through the Triple Crown, a lot of rigorous campaign, and he got up here and he just thought his last half a mile breeze before the race wasn't up to snuff, so he gave it a shot.
Of course, that was a big reason that your dad became known as the Giant Killer. You square off with another giant in the Whitney this year with Frosted, who's 3-5 on the morning line. Do you feel like maybe you have to be a bit of a giant killer to win this one with FNX?
I guess so, but you know, Frosted's been he's a very good horse, but he's his time. He's been up and down. You know, I know they loved him in the Breeders' Cup, and he didn't show up. His last race was real big, but again, it was around the one turn. He was fresh. He was very fresh and strong, the track was super, super fast that particular day. So, you know, that moves a lot of horses way up. And he was out there in that magic path. There was on that day I remember, it was right before the crown. There was one spot on the track where horses were hitting and just taking off like they were shot out of a cannon. And, you know, not to take anything away from his form. It was great, no question about it. But I don't think it as something that was as devastating as the numbers show and everything like that.
Spend a minute looking back on that Suburban win for FNX last time out. Second consecutive year he's won the race, and both times he was ultra game. Tell me about that race.
Yeah, you know, he seems to, mile and a quarter seems to suit him because he can be a little more deliberate early in the race. You know, he can sit close. He likes to be able to sit close to the pace. But not being asked to do, you know, which most horses do. But still, a mile and a quarter is a mile and a quarter, and you have to have that stamina, you know, which he does. So that's why I think a mile and a quarter really hits him in the head, because it fits his style of running better than any of the other distances.
Of course, I mentioned winning it 2 years in a row. The last horse to do that was Devil Is Due back in 1993, 1994, trained, of course, by your dad. It had to be very special for you to win it 2 years in a row, too.
Yeah, it was. You didn't go into it thinking of that, but you know, after it happened, you know, and you say, "Wow, you know, that's pretty cool." But you know, it wasn't anything that made us run in it. It wasn't a deciding factor to run in there. You know, we thought the race in Kentucky before that was an aberration, and we were. And he was doing very well since then, so we wanted to get him back over there quick and show what he can do, and just happened to be the Suburban again.
Well, much like your father, you're very good at getting horses to peak, especially for these longer route races like FNX is going to go in the Whitney on Saturday. What's the key? What have these past 4 weeks been like for FNX?
It's been good. You know, I don't see we've tried to, you know, sometimes it's a fine line with him, training him. Even if he does it easily, if he has a work that's kind of fast, it kind of makes him a little too nervous for those races. So we've been kind of careful to try to make sure that didn't happen this time. I thought he had a work that was perfect last week. He went 3/4 and 13 and change, which, you know, I would think would have to be perfect for keeping him kind of maintaining his fitness without making him too nervous. You know, but most of the time the fast works, unless they haven't been out in a long time, make them a little too nervous. Because it's something they don't really need. But I think he's going. I'm confident how he's going into the race.
He always seems to run very well when Hall of Famer Mike Smith is aboard. You'll give a leg up to him on Saturday afternoon as well. What makes him such a good fit?
I don't know. He just seems to sit up there and doesn't mess with him. He doesn't, because Mike tells me, he says, I could see why other jocks who's ridden him before, he gives you the feeling, like sometimes he'll give you, which he did in the past, he has a propensity to getting out on the turns or even on the backstretch. He says, and it's a scary feeling because he's so big and powerful underneath you. When he feels like he's going to go, when he switches to his outside lead and he takes a step outwards, your first your first inclination is to grab a hold of that rein. And he says that's the last thing you want to do with him, because then he fights it and he gets out worse. So he pretty much just kind of throws the reins away, almost like neck reins him. That's how he guides him. He leaves his mouth alone, which I think that's the biggest ticket that Mike's figured out with him. And he figured out the first time he rode him in Kentucky.
You walk around Saratoga. This is a place where your dad kind of cemented his legacy in so many ways. What's it like? There's so many reminders of your dad when you walk around here, the barn area, the racetrack. What's it like for you?
Yeah, you know, it is. But, you know, the weird thing about it is he's associated with it a lot because of the onion thing, and it's just because he was an old-timer and Saratoga's an old-time place. I think that more played into it. But he had more fantastic things to say about the old Belmont Park and the old Jamaica racetrack than he did Saratoga. He has more fond memories of those two tracks because that's where he started. That's where he started from. And he said, back when I came around, going to Saratoga was nothing but a pain in the neck to have to leave you. You know, you had to take your wife and kids up here with a couple of horses with cheap horses, and you had to try to make a go of it. He said there was nothing to really love about it back then. So, but you know, it, like anything else, it grew on him over the years, and it became a special place as time went on.
Yeah, you were one of those kids he brought up here, and 43 years later, you could be the kid that wins the Whitney all those years after Onion beat Secretariat. So good luck on Saturday, and go get it done.
Well, thanks a lot. We'll need the luck, but I think we have the horse.
Now, trainer Jimmy Jerkins taking the time. I want to thank him for his time yesterday at the barn. And, Jude, nice to remember the chief on this Whitney day.
Yeah, the chief. It's interesting what Jimmy said about the chief not really being super fond of Saratoga. I kind of know that feeling, you know, like Del Mar, you know, you have to pack everybody up and you got to go down there. And sometimes your horses aren't that great. And, you know, it's a task and it's a little scary. The rents are high and you know, you're not making a lot of money sometimes. But chief certainly had some great memories here I'll always remember the last graded stakes that he won here, and that was really cool.
Yeah, I remember Sean Clancy was helping us out with the coverage that day, and he was standing watching the race with the chief, and it was beautiful because he was able to turn to him right away, and Alan got emotional. He got choked up during the interview. It meant a lot to him, too, and it was certainly one of the special moments we've ever had on radio.
Yeah, no question about it. It's great when you get the trainer right there, and Sean being so close to Alan Jerkins, it was a great moment.
A couple of things that stood out to me in that interview. Jimmy does not sound like he sold on that 14-length win by Frosted in the Met last time out. You heard him talk about the part of the track that horses tended to be in that day at Belmont, and he said they come off the turn like the horses were shot out of a cannon, and if indeed that was the case, plus it was a one-turn race, he has to go two turns today. But you heard Jimmy kind of bring up a couple of reasons why maybe Frosted could be beatable later today in the Whitney.
Yeah, I'm certainly in Jimmy's camp. I mean, I really thought Frosted couldn't lose unless something unforeseen happened. I mean, the field wasn't that great, and, you know, Frosted was, like he mentioned, was fresh. He came into the race really, really well, and there wasn't much in the way of competition, at least in my mind, and I wasn't surprised, but everybody, you know, made such a big deal out of it afterwards, and I realized it was visually impressive, but, you know, I don't think that race, I mean, I've actually called it phony baloney, which is maybe a little harsh, but, you know, I don't think that race is as good as it looks on paper. You know, there's a lot of times horses run and their race really looks bad on paper, but it was better than
right.
that.
Sure.
In this case, I think the race looks way better than it was, and I think that's what the way Jimmy feels too.
Loved his comments on Hall of Famer Mike Smith about riding FNX and how he can be a little bit of a different type of horse to ride, because when he switches leads coming out of the turn, he tends to kind of go the other way on you, and the first thing you want to do, as he said, was snatch up the reins, and as Mike told him, that's the last thing you want to do with this horse, and I'm sure you can relate to that, too, as a former trainer.
Yeah, absolutely, and it was funny when you mentioned the neck reining thing, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if people actually know what neck reining is, but it's the way a lot of Western horses are ridden, and it's not so much the bit. Like, if you're using something like a Bozell, which is just a a thing that goes around the horse's nose. You steer them with the reins, and you put the reins alongside their neck, and that's how they move. And of course, Mike, you know, being the tremendous horseman that he is, would pick up on that, and other riders do too. Gary Stevens happens to be good at that too. I noticed, you know, the horse didn't run well for Gary, but it could have been a million reasons besides that. But it was interesting to hear that. There's some South American horses sometimes like the neck reining thing a little better. They're used to training that way. So little tricks of the trade that you don't realize sometimes. I remember John Gosden had a horse that had a breathing problem, and Terry Lipham would win on the horse. He knew exactly where to put that horse's neck so he could breathe. And the horse would have this funny-looking headset, and Terry just went with it. And then, you know, the horse would win a couple races, and they run him in a fancy race, and they got one of the fancier jocks to ride him. And then the horse wouldn't run any good, and Terry would get him back. And one day I was talking to Terry, and I said, "What's the deal with that?" He goes, "Well," he says, "don't tell anybody, because this is my secret, and this horse is like my bread and butter. But that horse can't breathe, but I know exactly where his head needs to be so he can get air." And he said, "I don't know how I figured it out, but I figured it out." You know, and it was really funny. Wow. After a while, they just left Terry on him. But it's amazing. Those little tiny subtleties can make all the difference in the world. And Jimmy Jerkins sounds pretty confident in his chances.
Sounds very confident. You heard him at the end of the interview. "We need some luck, but we feel like we have the horse."
Right.
And I thought that summed it up beautifully. And in case you're wondering, in his five starts with Mike Smith aboard, FNX has three wins, a second, and a third. So Mike, a really good fit for this horse. They seem to get along well, and he seems to have them figured out right now. Of course, a winner of the Suburban at Belmont last time out, and you'll hear that coverage coming up this afternoon beginning 5:30 Eastern. Different Sirius XM channel than you're tuned into right now. That coverage going to air on Sirius XM channel 83, 5:30 Eastern. You'll also hear it on terrestrial affiliates across the country and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. And you can indeed visit that website, our website, horseracingradio.net, for a listing of affiliates and all that Sirius XM information. And yeah, listen worldwide at horseracingradio.net. We're back with more right after this on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for Saturdays at Saratoga and the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
"What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast."
"I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir."
"Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?"
"I'm perfect for Jimmy John's."
"Doing what?"
"Delivery."
"Delivery?"
"Delivery."
"We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's."
"That's what I heard."
"What'd you hear?"
"You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's."
"Then you heard right."
"I'm a fast study, sir."
"You know the Jimmy John's slogan?"
"The Jimmy John's slogan?"
"Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak."
"Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir."
"When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast."
"Then I'm your man, sir."
"How so?"
"Because I'm fast."
"Fast at what?"
"Fast at everything."
"Can you deliver fast?"
"I can deliver fast."
"How fast?"
"I can run a 440 in 220.
"Minutes?"
"No, seconds."
"That's fast. You deliver before?"
"I delivered newspapers before."
"Were you fast?"
"Very fast."
"How fast?"
"People got tomorrow's paper today."
"That's fast."
"So do I have the job?"
"Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?"
"I can get your references."
"When?"
"Now."
"These are good references."
"Thank you."
"But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast."
"More than fast."
"You got to be polite."
"Fast and polite."
"Fast and polite."
"I can do fast and polite."
"Okay, give me some time to think it over."
"Okay."
"Okay, I've thought it over. When can you start?"
"Now."
"Now is good. What's your name, kid?"
"Stefan Avalapadopoulos."
"Too long. How about Ed?"
"That's fine."
"Welcome aboard, Ed."
Jimmy John's, exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Bred for greatness and a brilliant Grade 1 winner on the track, Airdrie Studd's Creative Cause is giving every indication that his may be a very special future at stud. Already represented by the undefeated and dominant Landalucy Stakes winner, the one we waited for, Creative Cause currently sits second on the First Crop Sire list, and with impressive maiden special weight winners throughout the nation, appears poised to lead this banner stallion crop in 2016 and beyond. Airdrie Studd's Creative Cause. Think about it.
A Grade 1 winner at 2 and fastest winner of the Grade 1 Cash Call Futurity in nearly 20 years.
Into Mischief wins the Cash Call Futurity!
The sire of three Kentucky Derby colts from his first two crops, including
Golden Sense, the more they asked, the more he gave.
The Louisiana Derby to the Louisiana bred, Vickers in Trouble!
Into Mischief's biggest and best book of two-year-olds is coming in 2016. Visit SpendthriftFarm.com.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is the finest premium Western Timothy and alfalfa, direct from Washington State. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in Central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Learn more by following Washington Hay Company on Facebook today. It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
It's Eskin for money and Genre. They're putting on a show in the Molly Pitcher. At the rail, Genre comes back. Eskin for money. Nose and nose. And Genre would not be denied.
Genre was a game winner of the Grade 3 Molly Pitcher at Monmouth this past weekend for trainer Todd Fletcher and jockey Paco Lopez. That winning effort by the daughter of Darley stallion Bernardini makes Genre your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley stallion Bernardini, a proven sire of both the Superstar Racehorse and the Sales Ring Smash. In winning the Grade 3 Molly Pitcher Stakes this past weekend, Genre became Bernardini's 36th career graded winner and his 8th of 2016. Among North American sires, only Tappet has sired more graded winners this year. Learn more about Bernardini and all the Darley stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Jockey Orlando Bocachica, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
As they reach the top of the stretch, a quarter to go at Pimlico, and it's Noble Bird who's asked to burst away from him with a five-length cushion on Warrior of the Roses in second. Idolo Porteño to the center of the track, followed by Savoy Stomp, and then Golden Glint, and he's in front, a furlong left to run, and it's all Noble Bird flying away from them in the Pimlico Special. Noble Bird, full of run under the line to make it a double-digit margin. Idolo Porteño, Warrior of the Roses, and Savoy Stomp closer there with Golden Glint, and he's in front.
You know, we spent a lot of time this morning talking about Frosted in that 14-length victory in the Met Mile last time out. Well, Noble Bird put on a show of his own. That was two starts ago in the Pimlico Special. Dave Rodman had the call. May 20th at Pimlico, he won by 11, took the field wire to wire. JT, maybe another performance like that in the offing later today. We're going to hear from trainer Mark Cassie coming up at 9 o'clock Eastern time.
It could be the Lau Ban of the week.
Could be. Well, if he get puts out in an effort like that, that was huge.
That was huge. It was really huge. I don't know where it came from, actually.
Maybe he's a good horse to bet at Naira Bets. And you can now do that anywhere in the country, not just here in New York, because Naira Bets has gone national. As of today, horse players from across the country can sign up and play the stacked Whitney Day card. You can earn points on every bet, including an industry best 4x points on all Naira races. You can use the most advanced state-of-the-art betting platform in racing, all at Naira Bets. Sign up right now. You can use promo code SPRINGS, that's SPRINGS, SPRINGS, to be eligible for a 50,000 point and $100 cash bonus. Sign up today at NairaBets.com and find out why Naira Bets is racing's best play. So our poll question today, we have an update before we get to the second half of the program. Our poll question, who do you feel is the best older male dirt horse in the country? And we gave you four choices. We gave you Frosted, FNX, California Chrome, and Dortmund. And when I threw it out there, Jude, it was kind of a softball for HRN Nation this morning. You looked at me and you said, California Chrome's going to win that poll by 100 miles.
Yeah. He would be like 1-5.
All right. Well, as of right now, you are proven correct, my friend, because California Chrome has 82% of the vote as the best older dirt male in the country. Frosted, a distant second, with 11%.
Yeah, and they're not even mentioning Dortmund.
No, who was right there with California Chrome last time out.
Who should probably be second.
2%. My lovely wife, Michelle, here just told me 2% coming in for Dortmund.
Okay. Well, I'll take
no respect for bobblehead Bob.
I'll take those odds.
No respect for Dortmund. All right, don't forget our coverage of the Whitney this afternoon. All presented by visitbarbados.org. You can tune in 5:30 Eastern, Sirius XM 83, affiliates throughout the capital region here in New York and across the country, and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. And when you go and listen to that show this afternoon, matter of fact, you don't even have to be listening to the show. You can go do it right now at twinspires.com. You can play the twinspires.com HRRN bet back, and here's the way it works. You go to twinspires.com, HRRN. You're going to go ahead and make a $7 win bet and a $7 show bet on one horse in today's Whitney. If that horse finishes out of the money, worse than third, you're going to lose that $14 wager. But it doesn't matter because Twin Spires will refund the entire $14 right back into your account. So go there now, a no-risk $14 wager on today's Whitney. It's all at twinspires.com/HRRN. Busy second half of the show coming up next. We're back with hour two right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Nyquist and Exaggerator, they're coming to the line together, and Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby.
Brody's Paws at the 16th pole, chased by Jerry Wine. My Man Sam running huge from last, but Brody's Paws in front. Brody's Paws for Luis Saez to win the Toyota Bluegrass.
And it's Mohamed who has taken the lead on the outside. Mohamed to the front, pulling away from Zulu Fellowship is third as Mohamed pulls away.
But Exaggerator is finishing with conviction this afternoon. Exaggerator, an absolutely brilliant victory in the Santa Anita Derby.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld. That's Baron and Pontiff. Position trackside, literally 30 yards from this historic main track, where later this afternoon they will contest the Whitney. And they will do that at a mile and an eighth on what is expected to be a fast main track. And it figures to be a good one. A six-horse field in the 89th running. A win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Classic division. So the winner of this race, not going to have to worry about any expenses or entry fees or anything like that heading out to Santa Anita. Of course, we'll be there in November to bring you that exclusive coverage as well. A very busy second half of the season for us here on the network, and couldn't be happier to have you with us this morning and have you with us later today at 5:30 Eastern as we kick off that Whitney coverage. Beautiful day, the sun coming up. We had a bit of rain come through last night and early this morning, but the track is in great shape. It is fast. The turf course expected to be firm. Horses still continuing to train. Fans still at the rail and enjoying breakfast and milling around the picnic area out back. At 10 o'clock Eastern, they will close the gates. They will make everybody leave the park and then come back in one more time as we get set for what is expected to be a great day of racing. And Jude, five stakes races on the program, including the Whitney and the Grade 1 test.
Yeah, it's a great card this afternoon, and judging by the amount of people are here already, it's going to be a great crowd. Really looking forward to today. It's really a great day of racing all over the country. Mountaineer's got a fantastic card up there, too, and a couple nice races at Ellis Park today. It's great. And then Del Mar later on, so you can start early and play late if you want to.
Yeah, it's a big weekend here in Saratoga. Big few days, actually, because not only do we have the huge Whitney Day card today, but on Monday and Tuesday evening, we're going to bring you our exclusive coverage of the Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale, the 96th edition of that historic sale. Monday, Tuesday, 6:30 Eastern is when we hit the airwaves. You can tune in on Sirius Channel 145 and streaming worldwide on our website and on the Fasig Tipton website, FasigTipton.com. We told you at the top of the show that our broadcast this year going to be in conjunction with the video presentation of the sale on the Fasig Tipton website. So you can watch the sale. You can see all the hips. All the horses go into the ring and sell, and you'll be able to tune in to our coverage, which will feature interviews with so many of the top consigners, the top buyers, the top owners. You'll hear all of that at FasigTipton.com beginning 6:30 Eastern Time Monday and Tuesday evening. And that brings us to our next special guest. We told you we were going to have the Mark Cassie interview for you at 9 o'clock Eastern, but Max Hodge from Fasig is here, so we'll postpone the Mark Cassie interview. You'll have to wait until about 9:20 Eastern to hear that one. But Max, happy to have you on board, my friend.
Thanks for having me. Hopefully, maybe Mark's over there on the sales grounds looking at a few years.
Well, I'm sure he probably is. Isn't everybody?
It's very busy over there. About 50% of the horses were showing yesterday, and I talked to a few consigners at the end of the day. They said they had over 50 shows, so the rest of them, everybody's showing this morning, and I just left the sales grounds. It was very busy.
Yeah, this is always what I call the premier yearling sale in the country. Every year we come here, we broadcast it now, what, 4 or 5 consecutive years. And you think about the star power that you've had in past years, and it seems like every single year it's the same story. Here comes another horse that's an eventual Grade 1 winner, or who knows, maybe even a Triple Crown winner.
Absolutely.
We've seen that happen.
We sure have. You know, American Pharaoh was in there a few years ago. He didn't find a new home, but he was there. Last year we had 4 Eclipse Award winners out of those sales, so that's pretty spectacular given the numbers that we have. So we're really happy about that.
Well, it's the kind of sale, too, where you guys spend a lot of time ferreting out horses that want to come to the Saratoga sale but really aren't worthy, so to speak. And so when you get that catalog, you know that there's been some pretty smart people looking at these horses for months and months on end, and they're going to be nice individuals.
Yeah, we spend quite a lot of time in the spring right on in past the Derby, visiting farms and viewing pedigrees and doing physical inspections of these horses to find the ones that fit the market.
Max, you mentioned the 4 Eclipse champions last year with American Pharaoh, the Triple Crown winner, Stellar Wind, Teppan, and Songbird, who dominated the Coaching Club American Oaks here after being tested in the stretch. She pulled away beautifully, and she's being pointed for yet another race later in the meet. But you think about those champions, and then you think about all the success you've had with horses like, what, Tonalist coming through that sale, and over the years it's been one champion after another. What's the Fasig Tipton philosophy that's allowed you to have all this success?
Well, I think it's to provide up here the best marketplace we can. It's a unique environment. I think a lot of sales have gotten away from making the sale an actual event. So you guys know from being over there the type of crowd it brings in. A lot of principals are there in addition to their agents. So it's a great place to come and market your premier yearling if you're looking for top dollar for those yearlings.
Yeah, you have kind of a captive audience here. Most of the prominent owners and trainers are in town to watch their horses run and participate in Saratoga. And then the sale, you guys make it so fun and so nice, and great party before the sale, and everybody seems to be in a good mood, and they have a couple cocktails and can't wait to buy one. Yeah. So ideal situation.
What did Terrence Collier call it a few years back when we interviewed him? Drunken debauchery. He said, that's wonderful for an auction.
Yeah, Terrence, he has a way with words, too. We got to get him and Guyot on the same
And DeSormo.
And DeSormo.
We'll throw the three of them on together.
There you go.
Yeah, but, I mean, you think about that success, and you think about the history of that sale. It really is incredible. Max, when you go out and you talk to people about coming to the sale, what do you tell them? What's your approach when you talk to people about it?
Well, you know, the first part is to find a horse that fits the market, and then we can compare and contrast the results for those sires and those female families in other sales and demonstrate that we can get them a premium at our auction. And we have that captive audience, and, you know, there's a better chance that their horse will land in the right hands to be successful and enhance their pedigrees of their broodmares and things of that nature.
Yeah, talk about that. I mean, that's really important for a breeder. There's nothing worse than spending a lot of time and money to get a horse, you know, to the point where it's ready to be sold, and then somebody buys it that doesn't really have as much respect for the horse as another purchaser might be. And that's very important, I think.
Yeah, you can't always control who buys your horse, but for instance, we don't like to single out horses in the sale, but we do have a half-sister to Songbird over there by Ghost Sapper with Hillendale, and she's very nice, and here's a guy that's going to, a California breeder that's a small-time operator in terms of numbers, but is going to reap the rewards of breeding a champion.
One thing I love about this sale is you get to see sires with their first crop of yearlings going under the gavel, and when you think about the sire power we're going to see Monday and Tuesday night at the Fasig Tipton Sales Grounds, you're talking about Kentucky Derby winners Animal Kingdom and Orb, both represented by their first yearlings. Point of Entry, who is so spectacular. You have Painter and Take Charge Indy. Oxbow, the Preakness winner, has his first yearlings. Declaration of War, Shanghai Bobby. Great Hour, Liaison. Violence. The list goes on and on, but those are the sires with their first crop of yearlings, and that's exciting too, Max.
It is. It's always nice to get out and see those first crop sires and see what those foals look like, and those are all exceptional individuals by you know, top-class sires that have the potential to go on to be, you know, in the top 10, 20% of sires in the future.
When does that process start?
When does
the selecting yearlings?
We typically, right after our sale at Gulfstream Park, which is in early March, we come home. The nomination process is in full swing by then, and we'll start scheduling inspections right around that time.
It's not just about the selected sale. That, of course, as we mentioned, Monday and Tuesday beginning 6:30 Eastern, but then you segue into the New York bred sale, which has become extremely popular, too.
It is. We've gotten, just walking through the barns here, we've gotten a lot of positive feedback. I mean, when you look at that catalog, the quality, the numbers are over 300 this year, but just the quality and the sire power in there has changed dramatically in the last few years as the purse structure here is.
Yeah, that New York bred program certainly has to help, doesn't it?
It does. It's, you know, it's the most lucrative program in the country, and with the Breeders' Awards, Owners' Awards, it's they're highly sought after now.
Yeah, there's no question. Three races a day by law have to be run. And then, you know, you look at the horses when you're handicapping and you see how much money they're earning compared to a lot of other horses on the card. And, you know, everybody should be buying New York breds.
Right. They're not your, what they say, they're not your father's or your daddy's New York breds. An example of that is Upstart today in the Whitney. He came out of our New York bred sale. So there are a lot of stories like that.
This sale, typically, talking about the selected sale Monday and Tuesday night, typically starts shortly after 7 o'clock Eastern, but this year you moved it up to 6:30 Eastern for a start time. Is it a slightly bigger catalog than what we've seen in the past?
It is. Last year we had 208 in the sale. This year we cataloged 252. I mean, there are a little over 30 outs now, but it is about a little over 24 percent entries, I believe.
What goes into determining that number every year? Is it just that the ones that qualify get in? Is it
that
simple?
Last year's sale was very strong. The results, everybody was satisfied with the results, so I think that people were more willing to listen to our recruitment spiel this year and offered us more yearlings.
We want to thank you, by the way, and HRN Nation wants to thank you for putting us on camera as little as possible with your video presentation. We heard we're going to be on for maybe a minute, and Acacia Courtney's going to be on for like 6 hours, so in a three-hour show. So that's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, we're excited to show the sale and the sale scenery and you guys as well on our live stream. I think it's a, you know, that's our largest audience as far as the online streaming. And to be able to try, in the past we just have two cameras in the sales pavilion just showing the horse in the ring. But now, you know, to be able to talk to the people after they've sold a horse or purchased a horse and just to show the scenery and the mass of people that are out back in the bar area and then by the back walking ring helps us tell the story of what goes on here a little bit better.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. FasigTipton.com is where that video presentation is going to be available. Of course, you can check it out beginning 6:30 Eastern time both nights. Max Hodge, I appreciate all the time, my friend. Appreciate all the support, as always. If people don't know by now, they can go to our website and they can listen on SiriusXM to our trainer talk show every single Wednesday night presented by Fasig Tipton. You've been a longtime supporter of that show. Can't thank you enough for that support, my friend.
Thank you. We're happy to do it. It's a great program.
Yeah, good show last week, huh, JT?
Yeah,
you weren't here, actually. I had to do it solo.
That kid's such a cool kid.
Mr. Falcone Jr., yeah. That was really cool. Yeah. It was really neat. 22 years old, Max. I believe he's the youngest licensed trainer on the NYRA circuit, and he just saddled a Grade 2 winner last week.
Now, I haven't had a chance to listen to it, but I always catch up with it on the podcast via your website.
Yeah. Robert Falcone Jr., go back there now, horseracingradio.net. It's Trainer Talk presented by Fasig Tipton. Look forward to being over there Monday and Tuesday, my friend.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Max Hodge here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. How much fun is that going to be?
Oh, it's great. I mean, I love going over there.
Do you have your black tie set to go, JT, for opening night?
Black tie. I asked you if we were wearing tuxedos. You said no.
No.
We're going with navy blazers.
Yeah. We could go with Barbados blue.
I didn't bring mine. You told me navy.
Oh, we have to go with the same thing?
Oh, I don't know.
We have to dress alike now?
Oh, I thought we were.
To that?
I thought we were. I thought we were dressing alike. You said navy. I brought my navy.
I'm going to go with an Embrace
the Race
tie. In
the navy. I am too.
Considering the fact the coverage is presented by Embrace the Race and the Maryland Horse Breeders Association, but I think it would be nice to go with Embrace the Race.
I bought two spiffy shirts to wear, so I know we won't look alike.
Yeah.
Because you're usually pretty basic.
Speaking of Embrace the Race, all of our guests who appear on the program, including Max Hodge, receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It's the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion by going to embracetherace.com. We'll get to a short break. We'll come back with your Blood Horse News update and that interview with Mark Cassie. It's next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti, the seven-time Grade 1 winner and earner of more than $6 million, is now a classic producing sire with his first crop.
Sir Dudley Diggs and Julien Le Parou. Sir Dudley Diggs has hit the front, and Sir Dudley Diggs from Amis Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
In addition to Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs, Gio Ponti is also represented by the exciting Bob Baffert trainee, Dre Fong.
But Dre Fong is well clear at the 16th pole. A talented colt. Two for two this campaign. Dre Fong by six lengths.
And Castleton Lion stallion Justin Phillip retired sound after competing in 23 graded stakes, winning 11 of those, including this dominating performance in the Grade 1 AG Vanderbilt at Saratoga.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by two.
Justin Phillip's first yearlings enter the sales ring this year. For more information, visit CastletonLions.com.
And they're off in New York. The premier state-bred program in the United States. When you own a New York bred, your horse can run for more than $44 million in purses restricted to registered New York breds. And the New York program pays awards to breeders, owners, and stallion owners when their New York breds finish first, second, or third at New York tracks. We have the quality.
Day at the spa, all the way.
You have the opportunity. New York breds, get with the program. The best program.
Claiborne Farms Warfront has earned international acclaim as a champion sire. Last year, Air Force Blue won four Group 1 events on his way to being named Europe's champion two-year-old colt. While stateside, Hit It A Bomb captured the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf at Keeneland. In the auction ring, Warfront's seven-figure sales included a North American record $3.2 million weanling. Warfront at Claiborne Farms.
I'm back with Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, why are we seeing more horsemen around the world using Flair strips?
Mike, I think more horsemen are realizing the simple fact that breathing easier is critical for horses' health and performance. When running, horses are bringing in about 10 bathtubs of air every minute through the narrowest part of the airway that collapses at speed. What the strips do is support the tissue in that region so it collapses less, so horses bring the air in more efficiently.
Breathe easy with Flair strips. FlairStrips.com.
Maryland breads are your formula for success. In 1989, Maryland bred Safely Kept won Saratoga's Grade 1 test stakes with a final running time of 121 and 2/5 seconds. The test was one of 8 wins and 9 starts at 3 for Safely Kept, who would be voted that year's Eclipse Award-winning sprinter. Maryland breds run with the best. Look for them in the winner's circle at racetracks all over the world, and watch for them at the sales. Better stallions, better mares, Maryland breds.
Hi, this is Steve Buttleman, the official bugler at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
I was watching him come up to the gate, and that's when he starts to blow up, and whenever he just comes up there, before he goes in, he always looks up at the green. He stops and looks at the around the grandstand, and he just has a presence, you know, to him. But he has really spoiled us. You know, he's taken us to a different level. You know, we're going to have to need some serious group therapy when he's gone. Like group, you know, to talk. You know, like you know, it's going to be like going to be really sad to see him leave.
That's Hall of Famer Bob Baffert, who joined us at last year's Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale, talking about his Triple Crown winner, American Pharaoh. That was right after he won the Haskell and before coming to the Travers here at Saratoga, where he would be defeated by Keen Ice. But Bob talking about the group therapy they were going to need when American Pharaoh left, and American Pharaoh going through that Fasig Tipton sales ring, and that coverage, as we just alluded to with Max Hodge, 6:30 Eastern, Monday and Tuesday night. You can hear it on Sirius Channel 145 and streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net, and on the Fasig Tipton website at fasigtipton.com. It is time now for your Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Kitten wins a Racing Hall of Fame Thriller. Camelot Kitten edged a game Aero Force by the slimmest of margins in the $200,000 National Museum of Racing Hall of Fame Stakes right here at Saratoga. That was yesterday afternoon. Stalking from fourth while Aero Force chased pacesetter Giant Run through fractions of 25.08 and 112.88 for six furlongs, Camelot Kitten moved up to challenge those two on the turn, and the three entered the stretch as a team. But when Giant Run faded in mid-stretch, Camelot Kitten and Aero Force edged past in tandem towards the finish line, but Irad Ortiz Jr. coaxed a supreme effort from Camelot Kitten, who dug down on the outside of his rival in the closing stages to get the win by a flared nostril. And McCarron to receive the Pinkai Award. That's right, Hall of Fame jockey Chris McCarron has been named the 2016 recipient of the Lafitte Pinkai Jr. Award and will receive the honor in ceremonies at Del Mar on August 21st. And that is your Blood Horse News Update for this morning. For more industry news and headlines, head on over to BloodHorse.com. Congrats to Chris. How cool is that? Big honor for Chris McCarron.
Yeah, well, he's such a good guy. He's such a great ambassador for our game. And, you know, you gotta take your hat off to Chris.
Yeah, and you heard us talk about that Hall of Fame Stakes here yesterday. What a battle that was in the stretch, huh? Camelot Kitten, Aero Force. You couldn't shine a flashlight between them coming down to the wire.
Yeah, it was such a big race that it had Camelot Kitten trending last night on Twitter.
Really?
Yeah, it was actually ahead of the Olympics, which I thought was really cool. I mean, how often does that happen?
Well, Ken Ramsey's an international guy.
I guess so. I don't know.
Yeah, why not?
A lot of tweeps, evidently.
All right, well, we told you that we had the opportunity, or I had the opportunity yesterday, to talk with trainer Mark Cassie at his barn. Of course, Mark inducted into the Canadian Horse Racing Hall of Fame Wednesday night, and he is somebody who has put together so many top moments in his career. And you think about his record. Here's his resume. Think about this. 2,061 career wins to date. 8 sovereign awards. 2 Breeders' Cup champions to go along with countless graded stakes winners, and now, as I mentioned, a member of the Canadian Horse Racing Hall of Fame. And Mark started by looking back on some of those statistics. When you hear those kind of numbers and you hear me say those words, what's going through your mind, Mark?
Well, you know what? It's funny because you forget about them. And, you know, some days when I'm questioning how when horses run bad, I have to go back and remember. Yeah, we've done okay in the past, so it's great. It was what a beautiful ceremony they had for the Hall of Fame, and I'm very, very proud to be in it.
Tell me about that ceremony and coming up there to officially hear your name called as a Hall of Famer. What was that like?
Well, what made it even nicer was that Jim Bannon, who is a close friend, he did the ceremony, and then they asked me if there was anybody in particular that I would like to present it to me. And my dear friend and one of the greatest race callers, in my opinion, around, Dan Lazelle, presented it to me. So it was truly a real honor.
Been a very difficult year for you, losing your dad earlier in the year, and that had to be foremost on your mind as well as you're walking up to that podium.
It was very difficult. I knew it would be. It took me 4 or 5 days to write my speech. Most people maybe would listen to it and not think so, but I made sure I wanted to talk about my dad, and I put it last, and I let my wife read it because she said, I'm not sure I can read it, and I cried the entire way, and I think Jim Bannon held my hand. So it was, you know, it's been an unbelievable year, and I almost think sometimes I wonder if he's up there helping.
What do you think he would say if he could have been there at that ceremony?
I think he would have been crying right, you know, alongside me. He's always been my biggest supporter, and you know, I couldn't have done it without him, and I think he would have been very proud.
You're a huge family man, and now you have the privilege of having your son Norman by your side and your entire family around your operation. That has to be special and mean the world to you as well.
I think it's really special, and I think it's probably we do get a fair amount of media attention. I think a lot of it has to do with the relationship of Norm and I, and it is nice. You enjoy winning, but it's always better to win when you have your family around. You know, my wife Tina is a huge part of it. Colby, my 13-year-old, we don't hardly. As I've gotten older, I've decided that, look, I'm not going to be away from my family. I'm going to take them with me. And luckily, with some success, you can afford some of that. You know, I think back, you know, poor Norman. Norman didn't get to see me much, but he probably now thinks he sees me too much.
This is a game that has the highest highs and the lowest lows. We all know that. Anybody that's in the game knows that very well. You've experienced both ends of those. Let's focus on the highs, though, and the positives. When you think about your Hall of Fame career to this point, and it's still ongoing, what are some of the moments that are always going to stand out to you?
Oh, that's a toughie. Probably one of them would be Lexi Lou, you know, winning the Queen's Plate. It was amazing. She was on the front of every major newspaper the next day in Toronto, and the crowd went wild. So, and then it I don't know that it helped me. Actually, by when she won it, I was already had been in. I hadn't been inducted, but I was going to be. It was. I mean, there was nothing like Tepin winning at Royal Ascot. And then, you know what, the two Breeders' Cup races, I kind of felt like there was a lot of relief. We'd accomplished a lot of things, but that was something we hadn't done. You know, there's a lot of great trainers that have never won the Kentucky Derby. There's a lot of great trainers that haven't won the Breeders' Cup, but... you know, I just wanted to be considered with some of the best, and I think the Breeders' Cup helped that.
Yeah, certainly. Up until last year, I think you were considered one of the better trainers in the sport that had never won a Breeders' Cup, and now maybe focusing on a race like the Kentucky Derby or Triple Crown race.
I can remember maybe the year prior, they had a big article, and they had four or five trainers. One of them was Christoph Clement. I think Wesley Ward had not won a race. And they had a big picture of Christoph. And I said, I see we haven't won the Breeders' Cup. And he goes, yeah, why would they put that, you know? And I said, hey, at least they're even thinking about us. And so I took it as a bit of a compliment, you know, that I'm sure there's a lot of trainers that have won the Breeders' Cup, but they wanted to make mention that we hadn't. So I took it as a compliment, but it just made me want to win that much more.
So what goals are still left for Mark Cassie to accomplish?
The Kentucky Derby, the Hall of Fame. You know, I went to the Hall of Fame here in Saratoga when I was 8 years old with my dad. And to think that, you know, possibly that I could end up in there one day would be great. And then maybe a Clips Award. That'll be a difficult task. But it may be not impossible now. I would have said 10 years ago or 5 years ago it would have been impossible, but maybe not now. And I have to tell you, a large part of that has to do with Norman and the teamwork that our entire team has given us. So that's about it. If I, I would say that I've done all I needed to do. May even start thinking about taking a little vacation time.
That would be kind of nice for a change, wouldn't it?
It would be. It would be. I've worked so hard to get where I'm at and so grateful what I'm at, but it is, and people don't realize it's, you know, it's every day, all night. Funny little quick story. I thought, I love holidays because nobody's going to train. So I thought, you know, New Year's Day is a great day for me because nobody's training, everybody's safe. So this 2016 team, 7 a.m. in the morning, New Year's Day, I get a call, and of course Colt, we had paid $1.3 million for it, stuck his leg and caught over a stall gate, and they had to rush him to the. So I said, well, welcome to 2016. So there's just never a day that something isn't going on.
Yeah, and I'm sure you're never away from the operation. Even if you try to get away and go fishing for a day or do something, your mind's still on it, isn't it?
I won't even go far enough. We have a boat, and I won't go out far enough that my phone doesn't work. because, and maybe that's stupid, but I like knowing what's going on. And I feel like I have a lot of people that have put a lot of money and trust in me, and I don't want to let them down. And so I will even plan my plane flights. And I try to go in times when we're not running or not training, just so I'm always available.
I'm sick. Trainer Mark Cassie joining me here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. All right, let's focus on maybe a more immediate goal, and that's winning the Whitney on Saturday with Noble Bird. Talk to me about Noble Bird and how he's coming up to the race.
You know, Noble Bird is trained extremely well. He gets over this track good. And the Whitney would be very special because, one, the Oxleys have been so dear to us and been supporters of us, and they're very good friends with Mary Lou. And so I think that would be very nice. Plus, of course, you know, Noble Bird is by Birdstone, and so it would be for Mary Lou, I think it would be a great great thing for her as well. So and I realize we're a long shot, but if the real Noble Bird shows up and maybe Frosted has a bad day, we might have a shot.
Well, Frosted did not have a bad day the last time you faced him in the Met Mile. He was ultra impressive that day, won by 14 lengths. How do you make up that kind of margin here at Saratoga in the Whitney?
You don't make it up. You hope your horse runs a good race and runs his best race, and hope maybe Frosted doesn't freak again. His last win was freaky, and you know, he'll have to, if he duplicates, we're all running for second.
All right, well, good luck in the Whitney. Next week, we head to Arlington for the Arlington Million. You'll have world approval in the Arlington Million. He worked here this morning at Saratoga. Tell me about him.
He worked extremely well. He went 49-2. He's a horse I'm really proud of. We kind of had some plans. We got him later on. We got him as a three-year-old, beginning of his three-year-old year, and he's really progressed. And he's turned into one of the best turf horses in North America, and I think he continues to get better. And I'm really proud of world approval. And of course, Mrs. Weber, she's a Florida, you know, she's Florida through and through, and I grew up 10 miles from her house, so it means a lot to me to train for her.
One thing I love about World Approval, he's kind of a bit of a throwback horse. He's only had 15 starts, but they come at 9 different racetracks. He's run well at all of them.
When I started training for Mrs. Weber, I told her, you might want to get the compact, I said, because we will go everywhere. And I think that's one of the things that makes us do well. You know, we will. Yesterday we won a quick call with Holding Gold, and he was sitting up at Woodbine, and I said, well, I know where this will fit well, and then so I brought him to Saratoga. So, you know, that's what we do. I spend a lot of time. I go over 6-7 condition books every day. And
how good was his last race in the United Nations?
Very good. Obviously, the leader of the gang right now is Flintshire, and we'll try him again maybe, but I'm not in any hurry. So it was good to see him run here last week, and we'll see. I think if World Approval runs his race, he's going to be very tough in the Arlington Million. At least I hope so.
Well, good luck this Saturday. Good luck next Saturday. And again, congratulations on that Hall of Fame. Well-deserved.
Thanks, Mike.
That's trainer Mark Cassie, and my thanks to Mark for taking the time to join us and talk about his career, his life, and in so many respects, what he hopes to accomplish in the future. And it was great to hear. Of course, his immediate goal is coming up this afternoon in the Grade 1 Whitney with Noble Bird. He'll see if he can pull off the upset there. And then next week he heads to Arlington with World Approval, as you heard at the end of the interview. We are heading that way as well. We'll bring you that exclusive coverage from Arlington Park in Chicago next weekend. Make sure you join us here on the network for that. Some good stuff there from Mark Cassie, and my favorite is when he was talking about the Hall of Fame and his acceptance speech, and you know, his wife. He waited to thank his father until the very end of that speech because he knew how emotional he was going to get with his dad passing away earlier this year, and then he couldn't even read it. He had to have his wife read it for him, you know, you can only imagine what that must have meant to Mark and to his family.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, it's a tremendous honor, and you know, Mark's such a good guy. He never turns us down for an interview, no matter where he's traveling to or how tired he is. To me, it was interesting when he talked about planning his plane flights because he doesn't want to let any of his clients down. And you know, you hear that and you go, oh yeah, sure, but that's really the way he is.
Yep.
I mean, he's just a first-class guy in every respect, and I don't have enough nice things to say about Mark Cassie.
Yeah, a great interview there. If you missed it, we'll have it up on our website later this afternoon. You can tune in or hear it at horseracingradio.net. Coming up in just a moment, our Right or Wrong segment presented by Sunrise Stallions, then Eric Barlin from Tito's Handmade Vodka, Pete Rotundo from the Breeders' Cup. They'll be with us in just about 10 minutes from right now to walk through some of the big races, including the Grade 1 Test and the Grade 1 Whitney, which you'll hear beginning 5:30 Eastern Time exclusively on HRR and later today. All right. We told you the Saratoga sale, the Fasig Tipton sale, comes up Monday and Tuesday night. And when you think about that, you think about the young sires. And you have a couple that stand at Ashford and Versailles, and that's Shanghai Bobby and Declaration of War. Both of those with yearlings going under the gavel Monday and Tuesday evening. Now, Shanghai Bobby, how can you forget him? An unbeaten two-year-old, the first horse in history to win the Hopeful, the Champagne, and the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He has seven horses cataloged to the Fasig Tipton Saratoga Selected Yearling Sale. Then you have Declaration of War by Warfront from the family of Union Rags. Warfront has been on fire with his two-year-olds in Europe in recent weeks, and Declaration of War is his best son at stud. He was a dual Grade 1 winner in Europe, was Declaration of War, before running a gallant third in the Breeders' Cup Classic in his first and only start on dirt, and he has three yearlings cataloged to that Saratoga sale. Look for those yearlings by Shanghai Bobby and Declaration of War coming up Monday and Tuesday evening. And time now for Right or Wrong, presented by Sunrise Stallions.
Yeah, right or wrong. Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
And as always, joining me is the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Big A, you ready to roll on this one?
I'm hanging tough, man.
All right, let's see what we got. Here we go. All right, number one. Even though Frosted is running for the first time since his historic win in the Met Mile in today's Whitney, the test earlier on the card for the three-year-old fillies is a more exciting race today. Right or wrong?
Nah, I think that one's wrong, Baron. Frosted is, in my opinion, the best older horse in training. Off of that Met Mile win, he's looking for a daily double of his own in two of the more prestigious and historic races in our country, the Met Mile and the Whitney. I know he's not running against a stacked field today or a large field today, but I think he's the star attraction. And while the test might be a more wide open affair, as opposed to the Whitney, I think all eyes are on the Frosted today.
Yeah, I'm not sold that the Whitney isn't wide open, because from what I'm hearing from a lot of the connections of other horses that are entered in the race, Frosted maybe not necessarily a sure thing. I think there are some chinks in the armor, according to some of the other trainers, and Jimmy Jerkins in particular, alluding to that fact earlier in an interview in the first half of the show. I think, quite honestly, that you can make a case for either one of these two if you're talking about the most exciting race of the day. I think that's kind of a push. But if you're talking about the race that has more intrigue to me, it definitely has to be the Whitney, with the storylines of Frosted and FNX, two of the top older horses in the country, locking up. And then you throw in a horse like Noble Bird for Mark Cassie, who potentially could steal it on the front end. You have a lot of intrigue, a lot of drama. I can certainly see the Whitney being the more interesting of the two.
Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
All right, Big A, here's number two. Running the Curlin the day before the Jim Dandy, as they do here at Saratoga, and the Alidar the day after the Whitney, actually hurts the marquee events more than it helps the overall product. Right or wrong?
That's right. I think you need to put the focal point on those two races. Look, if they don't run the Curlin the day before the Jim Dandy, Baron, they have the Curlin and the Jim Dandy. That's going to be the other, you know, that's going to be, they're going to get three or four out of the Curlin to try the Jim Dandy. They got six in the Whitney. They got more than six in the Alidar tomorrow. They're going to get more horses in these marquee races. These races are important enough on the calendar and important enough for later on in the Saratoga meet that they need to be the focal points. We're at Saratoga now. We don't need any practice races. You don't need a platform to step up with the big boys. This is where you try the big boys or big girls. I think you got to get rid of those two races and move them on the calendar.
Yeah, I agree. I don't like having them so close. I do think it takes away from races like the Jim Danny and the Whitney. You know, I mean, think about it. If those races aren't on the calendar right around that very same time, then those horses are going to run in those marquee events, the Jim Danny and the Whitney. So I agree with you. I don't like the fact that they do that. I do think it takes away from it, and I'm going to agree with you, my friend. I think that is absolutely right.
Yeah, right or wrong? Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
All right, well, there it is, Right or Wrong, presented by Sunrise Stallions, which, of course, is the home to Big Brown Frost Giant and his full brother, Heavy Breathing. And Big A, appreciate the time, my friend, and enjoy the weekend.
You got it, Baron. You too.
All right, don't forget you can catch the Big A every weekday on Express Bet Radio. That is Wednesday, Thursday, Friday afternoons. Sirius 219 is your new home for Express Bet Radio every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Sirius 219, XM 206, and as always, streaming worldwide, horseracingradio.net. We're back after this word from Sunrise.
Sunrise Stallions, home of Big Brown, Frost Giant, and his full brother, Heavy Breathing. With 18% stakes horses from starters, Frost Giant continues to produce exciting runners, including top two-year-olds, winning against open company and in stakes competitions.
Bobby on Fleek, very impressive six-length winner here.
Sonido moving clear to win easily.
Miss Freeze, a sharp stakes-winning debut.
Learn more about Frost Giant, Big Brown, and Heavy Breathing at SunriseStallions.com.
All right, coming up next, our Road to the Breeders' Cup presented by Gainsway. We'll be joined by Eric Barlin from Tito's Handmade Vodka and Pete Rotundo from Breeders' Cup. We'll do it next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for Saturdays at Saratoga and the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwiches, Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello?
Hello, boss? Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Roger.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Roger.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's. Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Join us for the Kentucky Sire Stakes at the historic Red Mile in Lexington, Kentucky. The Kentucky Sire Stakes is a culmination of a month-long series of preliminary races for 2 and 3-year-olds, pacers, and trotters with total purses of over $1.6 million. Watch for the finest standardbred horses, drivers, and owners compete in one of the richest finals in North America. First post, 7 p.m. on August 7th, 14th, and 21st at the Red Mile. For more information, visit khrc.ky.gov or call 888-KY.
Ramsey Farms Kitten's Joy.
They're racing up to the wire. Divisadero with a nose down in front to win it.
It is going to be Camelot Kitten. Camelot Kitten did it.
But the Christmas pass to Sharp Kitty by 3.
A champion sire who continues to prove he's world class.
Tarif takes him on and Tarif gets up to beat George Patton.
Inside the final 100 yards. Hawkfield just going on to win the Eclipse.
Kitten's Joy, a world class sire. Standing at Ramsey Farm. Visit RamseyFarm.com.
Hey, HRRN Nation, our weekday programming is moving to Sirius 219.
Head over to Sirius 219 for Express Bet Radio Wednesday to Friday from 3 to 6 Eastern, as well as Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka on Tuesday, Trainer Talk, presented by Fazek Tipton on Wednesday, the Brisnet.com call-in show on Thursday, and the Express Bet Weekend Stakes Preview on Friday between 6 and 7 p.m. Eastern. Our weekday programming is now on Sirius 219, XM 206, and your home for all of racing's biggest events, horseracingradio.net.
This is Steve Asmussen. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Loyal Run, full out on the outside. Fairbanks in between horses. Poppy Chulo is right there. Diamond Stripes on the far outside. Magna Graduate, Flashy Bull still running in sixth. Dry Martini, and here's Loyal Run. Storms to the lead, just inside the eighth pole, kicks clear, and kicks clear in a big way. Lawyer Ron has won. It was a wide journey and a winning one by 4.5 lengths here. An emphatic victory for Lawyer Ron over Wandering Boy, Diamond Stripes, and Fairbanks. And the final time here was 1:46 3/5 seconds. That has demolished the track record.
Tom Durkin with the call of that 2007 Whitney, and Lawyer Run, as you just heard, just crushed him that afternoon, crushed the track record, and that is a record that still stands. Will it be broken later today? Well, we'll find out shortly after 6:18 Eastern. Remember, Lawyer Run was ridden by Hall of Famer John Velasquez and trained by Todd Pletcher. Now, Johnny V comes into this year's Whitney having won it four different times, and if he can win it again today, he will join fellow Hall of Famers Pat Day and Jerry Bailey at the top of the list with five victories. And seems like we've said that in every stakes race with Johnny V this meet.
Yeah, he's getting closer and closer to every record here at Saratoga, and rightly so. The guy's phenomenal. Well, but how about Poppy Chulo? There's a name out of the past.
Poppy Chulo, I know, huh? I know. Well, no doubt that Johnny V will be at the Breeders' Cup November 4th and 5th at Santa Anita, as will we, as will Pete Rotundo, and as will Eric Barlin from Tito's Handmade Vodka. But they're with us right now on the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network to go down the road to the Breeders' Cup in this final segment. And, Peter, good morning, my friend.
Good morning. Happy to be here. What a spot you guys have.
How cool is this?
I can't get any better than this. Literally, you're in a perfect spot down the stretch overlooking the wire is just right there. It's awesome.
Yeah, spectacular. Eric, what's up, my man?
A couple too many Tito's last night at the paddock and in the picnic area. Peter took me back there and showed me his whole crew that he's been coming up with for over 40 years. But, again, just you get out here and you see some of these horses running around in this pristine setting and the setup you guys have, and it's phenomenal. We appreciate you guys having us on.
Yeah, love the shorts, by the way.
Thank you.
He's going with the Tito's Handmade Vodka shorts.
I am rocking the loudmouth pants gear today.
And I'm loving the Bloody Marys.
The bar is open.
You've just become our favorite sponsor, by the way. You went right to the head of the class on that one.
Plenty more where that came.
Good man. I love this guy. We do have a problem, right? We started the show talking about all the cocktails we've had here at Saratoga, and the beat goes on.
That's the way we like it. Let's not stop.
Pete, you wanted to talk about a great contest, which you've been promoting with Breeders' Cup, and get the word out on that a little bit. Let people know that they can win a VIP trip.
Yeah, sure. We have this new contest this year. It's at BreedersCupVIP.com. Basically, it's free to enter. You just log on. You could enter to win a trip. You pick which one you want to go for. So basically, one is with Bobby Flay. You fly out. You come to our private party there at the Taste of the World. You could watch a race with Bobby. You get a $1,000 bet on the Classic. Or if you want to hang out with Elizabeth Banks, who's one of our ambassadors, you could win a trip with her. The other one's with Carson Kressley, our newest ambassador, fashion guru from the old days that we used to work with. Or you could have a meet and greet with Victor Espinosa and Bob Baffert, Team Farrow. So basically, you pick which one you want. Free to enter. It's a sweepstakes. You could get lucky. And it's a VIP trip. You get a $1,000 bet on each one on the Classic. Plus, you watch a race with them. And hotel, airfare.
How cool is that?
It's a nice one.
So are you giving a trip away with each group?
Yeah. So it's for eight trips. You and a guest on the four slots. So, and it's, again, BreedersCupVIP.com to sign up.
Cool.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. It is cool. Yeah, it's been great.
Yeah, there you have it. Of course, make sure you check that out and follow us all the way down the road to that Breeders' Cup. All right, let's focus on a couple of races, which no doubt are going to have implications on a couple of divisions in the Breeders' Cup. You have the Grade 1 Test as race number 8. It will go at 5:02 Eastern today for the 3-year-old fillies. And then we have the Whitney, which we'll talk about in a minute. But let's start with the Test Stakes. 8 3-year-old fillies, a really contentious group in here. Eric, you want to kick it off?
Yeah, I'm hoping that, you know, I've always been taught by Team Rotondo to look at the pace of the race, and I'm hoping that this 7, that somebody can hook off the tracks a little bit. You know, I don't think the 1 is fast enough. I think the 3 has legitimate speed. So if they could hook up, I'm looking for a little value with a horse named Lightstream, the 5 horse. You know, was 3rd in the Mother Goose. I think the turnback's going to help the horse, and I don't like favorites, so I like that price.
Especially here.
Yes.
The graveyard of favorites.
Right.
In Saratoga. Yeah, I can see that. You know, Lightstream is a horse that comes from off the pace, and if you can get a bit of a speed duel in here, then maybe Lightstream is the one to come in and pick up the pieces. Pete, you agree?
Yeah, actually, I do agree. I mean, this is a race where if you look at who is the pace, I think I wouldn't be surprised if one, the 3, the 8, the 7, or I wouldn't be surprised if any of them went to the top, which we've seen this movie before where they all think maybe they could be the lead and they all go.
Right.
And so if that happens, which I'm hoping that happens, I agree with my man Eric here. I'm going with Lightstream as well on the cutback. Obviously, 2 for 2 at the distance. He's going to sit back with Joel, make one move. And I think you might get a nice price. 8-1 morning line, probably going to be about that. Obviously, off the tracks, it was impressive in the Mother Goose and cutting back. If she gets clear somehow, they're not going to catch her. But I'm thinking there's going to be some – the other guys are not going to let that happen.
Yeah, and Lightstream undefeated at this 7-furlong distance. So you mentioned the cutback from the mile and a 16th Mother Goose to the 7/8 of a mile. JT, I mean, as a former trainer, you know that can be a very significant thing.
Yeah, no, the cutback's a, you know, typical good play. It's a good play for horse players and a good move for trainers a lot of times. I'm a little bit concerned, though. A lot of these fillies are coming out of distance races, and Karina's really the fastest horse in the race, so she could get out there. That 116 mid-race pace figure that she had in the Jersey Girl puts her in front by many at the quarter pole, so that could be a concern for the rest of the field, especially if the track's favoring speed. Luckily, this is the 8th race, so we'll see how the track's playing and
that's true.
See how it sets up. But there's a lot of fillies cutting back, so they're not going to be quite as sharp as a filly that's been sprinting.
So off the tracks is going to be the favorite. She's the morning line favorite in here, and I think we're all in agreement that she may be a bit vulnerable in this position today. Is that a good way to put it?
I think so, and especially as the favorite, you know, you know that's our.
Whoa, what the heck?
What was that?
I mentioned the rain that we had in the area last night, and
it just showed up
this morning.
Oh,
some of it was on the canopy up above us. It just fell off, and it fell off right behind, actually, right next to Pete Rotondo.
I know. Well, the wires are wet. Is that all right?
Yeah.
You know what? His hair was untouched.
Still perfect.
It was untouched.
This is really
there was no hair harmed in the falling of the rain right here. So, my past performances can't say the same.
But. I had no idea what that was. That's awesome.
You gotta love live
so
radio.
Good.
Right?
I love it. It's tremendous.
Obviously, Mother Nature is not a fan of our pick.
Yeah, I can't handicap the Whitney because I can't see the Whitney.
The program is now soaked. Well, let's talk about the Whitney for a minute. Race number 10, 6:18 Eastern. Only a field of 6, but you're talking about Frosted FNX. This is a really solid race. What do you think, Eric?
Well, I opened the form this morning, and although I, you know, not the, as you've taught me, the buyers aren't the end all, but when you see a 123 buyer, just like, holy smokes, I had seen this horse run, you know, before, but I did not actually see the Metropolitan, so I went back and watched it. It was just a monster race. Can Frosted return to that form? I think you have to assume that he could bounce a little bit off of that, but at the same time, how good does he have to be? If he drops off just a little bit, he's still clearly the solid favorite. You know, I think the Deuce, I know that Pete wanted to talk about the 6 a little bit. The Deuce screams wise guy horse to me. You know, when I look at this horse, it's been running a little cheaper. It just keeps improving. It keeps winning. I think some people are going to play that horse comfort. I don't think it could take the step up in class. I mean, I don't see anything beating the 4, but you guys can try.
All right, all about Frosted for Eric
right.
Barlin.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like, you look at Frosted, he ran that's such a huge number, but it was a 1 mile, 1 turn at Belmont. is not a mile and an eighth going two turns to Saratoga. We know that. It's a completely different animal. No pun intended there. And I think, obviously, if he runs back to that race, he's going to win by open lengths. And, you know, I'd like to see it just because we want to have a superstar run away with it.
Yep.
But I'm betting, and that's what we're doing here, right? So the bottom line is FNX, to me, is going to sit the perfect trip. Look, the last time he had the third race off a layoff, off a freshening, he ran in the Breeders' Cup Classic, ran his best race of his life. I think he hates to run off layoffs. If you look at his, anytime you see a little gap, that first race off the layoff is terrible. Throw those out. He doesn't lose, actually. I think he's going to sit back last. I think Mikey's going to take him back, and he's going to try to sweep and make the one move down the lane and hopefully wear down Frosted. If Frost, I mean, listen, Erin McLaughlin, daughter of Kieran,
yep,
works for the Breeders' Cup. We're rooting for her no matter what, obviously. But, again, we're betting, so I'm looking for FNX to take it home, and especially with Jimmy Jerkins doing it for Dad.
All right, let me ask you guys this question. If, indeed, FNX does take back, as you just mentioned, Pete, is there any chance then that Noble Bird gets out there, sets a sensible pace, and gets Brave on the lead?
I don't think so. Not with the Zayats owning El Kabir and Ricardo Santana. His only shot is to go to the lead. What's he going to do, sit? He's got to go. He's got the rail, one post. He's going to go. There's no doubt. I think he's got to send. And as you know, Noble Bird, when he gets Brave, he gets Brave. But he's got to be open and like out there by himself. It's just not going to happen, I don't think. Not with Julian. I just don't see it. I see Ricardo gunning. So that's, and then Comfort's got to stay close with Johnny V. Frost is obviously not going to be too far off the pace. And I just see FNX making that sweep.
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 And I'm going to assume that you guys will be positioned at the picnic tables watching the races today, or do you have a different venue for these races?
Well, today's the winning you're in, obviously. Yep. So the Whitney, you know, the bottom. I have to do some work today with the Whitney being a winning you're in for the Classic. So we'll be doing some social media. We'll be getting it out there. Normally, this race would be on NBC as part of our series, but because of the Olympics, they didn't have a window for us this year. We'll be back on a national television next year.
Yeah, so they'll just have to tune in HRN this afternoon at 5:30 Eastern.
Of course.
Yeah, you can't watch it, but you can listen to it anyways this afternoon, 5:30 Eastern. That's on SiriusXM Channel 83 with that coverage and streaming worldwide, horseracingradio.net, and terrestrial affiliates around the country. How about any other plays on the card today? Was there anything else when you guys sat down and looked at it, Eric, maybe that jumped out to you?
You know, I was looking at the early part of the card, and I use Jim Mazur's service, the progressive handicapping service that I like for first-timers, and to see the breeding of the sires, they assign a letter that gives a percentage as to, because I used to be lost in maiden races, but I think if I go to the first, if I was going to do a nice box with a lot of value, there's very good breeding on the six. You know, despite McPeak not having a great record with firsters, that horse is bred really well. The nine, Great Samurai, I think has a little bit of a right to improve. And also, I like the 10 a little bit. So I'm going to look for a bit of a long shot box early in the card, trying to get some value to get the day started properly.
And for the listeners out there, I wouldn't listen to Eric early in the card. It's only late in the card. Yesterday, he bailed out in the last race with the 9-1 shot.
Yeah.
The Barlin bailout.
It was unbelievable. I mean, what a way to turn it around. And he says, and his friend Sarah is here with him, and he says, she said, he always wins the last race.
Yes.
So I think that's what we got to look at. Honestly, I haven't had a chance to get into too much of the other races, but I'm just going to be listening to him late.
Well, to tell you what a good friend he is, so yesterday his horse was not running well in the last. Not who did you have? I forget what number you had, like the five or something. And he's cheering for his five. He's doing the pounding. He's doing the slapping. Then he sees my horse coming. He has no chance. So he starts cheering for my horse. Come on with the one for Lundo. Come on with the one for Lundo. So that's solid, solid.
That's great. That's great. All right, Pete Rotundo, Breeders' Cup. Eric Barlin, Tito's Handmade Vodka. Of course, Tito's is the sponsor of our Jock Talk show every single Tuesday night, which you can catch here on the network. Make sure you check that out. And our thanks to Tito's and to Breeders' Cup for all their support. And, you know, Pete, I was thinking about it. You know, we've been doing the Breeders' Cup on radio. We've been partners since 2007. So this is, what, the 11th year now that we've – is that right? 10th year.
It'll be the 10th year.
10th consecutive year we broadcast Breeders' Cup. 10-year
anniversary.
So, yeah.
Awesome.
How cool is that?
That's great.
Thanks, brother.
No, thank you.
All right. Eric, appreciate it, my friend.
Thank you guys so much.
All right, good luck today.
All right, you too.
All right, we're going to get to a short break. A quick word from Gainesway, and then we'll come back and wrap up this Equine Forum.
Power.
Frosted's 10 in front.
frost that has absolutely rubbed in the Met Mile.
Passion.
California grown, wavering late. Here's the wire, and it's a photo finish that goes to Tonalist.
Performance.
It was creator and destined right on the wire, and Irad Ortiz raised his whip in victory.
Gainesway Stallion Tappet, a two-time champion sire and once again number one in 2016. More than $3 million clear on the general sire list with 21 graded stakes horses and 8 graded stakes winners this year, including Belmont Stakes Hero and Gainesway Sales graduate Creator, and Frosted, a 14.5 length winner of the Grade 1 Met Mile. 13 yearlings by Tappet have been cataloged to the Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale this August. Colts, fillies, graded stakes winners at any distance. Tappet, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
All right, that's about going to do it for us here this morning on the Equine Forum. Don't forget, we're back 5:30 Eastern Time this afternoon with that coverage of the Whitney, SiriusXM Channel 83, streaming worldwide, horseracingradio.net. Our thanks to all of our guests who took the time to join us this morning, including trainers Eric Guillot, trainer Jimmy Jerkins and Mark Cassie, Max Hodge from Fasig Tipton, and Pete Rotundo and Eric Barland at the end of the program here today. Our thanks to our producer, Lee Delapina, to my beautiful wife, Michelle, and for Jute Feld, I'm Mike Pennell. We'll talk to you this afternoon, and hey, go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.